Call the meeting to order. This is the Municipal Utilities Commission meeting for Monday, November 28th. Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes or additions to the agenda presented? If not, consent agenda, is there approval for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Questions on consent agenda? We have bills to be paid in the amount of $2,269,347.71. Any questions on the bills?
Yeah, since I bring it up, I do have a couple of questions.
Harold, did you have a question?
Yeah, sorry. Look here, I tagged it. Just a clarification, it was border state, so I know you get stuff from them. And it just says distribution inventory.
That's distribution. Basically, it's inventory, anything from nuts and bolts to components that we hold in inventory.
Okay. And this, it's a small amount, but it's on the electricity, I have a substation, and the power co-op, it says KDI Power. How do they work with that out there?
It's their service territory, so we pay them the bill for...
Or at the Priam substation?
Correct.
I wish I had a electric bill like that.
Commissioner Lamar, at our transmission substations, we like to have two sources of power in case the primary goes out. And so the primary source of power out there is our transmission line, but we do have a backup source of power with KPC, Canada Power Cooperative. So if we ever lose our primary feed, they would supply us power out there, and this is their monthly commercial.
And then just a question on, let's see, this is page 8, and it has to do with ONS Construction Company. It's highlighted in yellow, so it's something we have, but it's for self-primary failure, $6,000 there. is that on that junction there, right on 71 by Sherwin-Williams?
I don't know off the top of my head where exactly that would be, but it would be our underground cable failed in that location, and then we went out and repaired it.
Oh, okay.
Any other questions? Got a motion for the resolution, so you ready to call the roll?
Yes. Commissioner Lamar?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye. He did? Okay.
I said aye. Can you guys hear me?
Thank you.
There you go.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Bleak.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 4, strategic plan. Kevin, you're up for that?
Yes, thank you. So just as a quick reminder, a lot of you maybe are new to this or haven't dove into the strategic plan much, but on the in the menu at the very bottom all the way down is the 2021 strategic plan, and if you open that you can see your plan. Today is just two pages of that and just kind of progress update. I want to review that. That's where it's found. So open up the strategic plan presentation today. Twice yearly we do an update to the commission on progress of the plan. Very first page, page two actually, the plan was created in 2021, so that's why these started in July of 2021. Everything that is identified in green is that are completed. If there's no color on them, they are either in process or planning or just not done, or they may have been moved in the way where we plan to move them. So July of 2021, there's one item under staff development. That is the silent impact review and employee level review of the Joe Schmidt presentation that we had a few years back. We actually are planning to roll those out again with staff. It just hasn't worked out last year with COVID and all that, but we're going to be meeting with staff again monthly to do mission updates, and then we'll be rolling out the Joe Schmidt's review again, and then just revisiting that program. On the six-month column, October of 2021, down in technology, there's a decision on MDM system that has to do with the technology to the meter data management is what that stands for, and that was kind of put on hold a little bit because of operating systems and getting Tyler in place and up and running before we move into the MDM. But just to the right of that, the MDM system installed, we've moved that out to 2020. Just below that, in 9 months, the very bottom line under new building, determined final location, that's actually in progress, and we'll talk about that at the planning. Very top of April 2022. Choose and implement a new logo. It sounds like that was done about 15 minutes ago, so we can color that one green. And under planning, monitor EV count, that is an ongoing item and was kind of put on hold a little bit. Lost that employee starting here this week. And so page three is the outreaching 2022 through 2025. You can see the items that are in 2022 still. The WMU story, we're moving that out to 2024. Data Public Power Advantage Assessment, we're also moving that out to 2024. Under Communication Education Outreach, the Water Conservation Programs, that'll actually, we'll talk about that in about an hour here at the Planning Committee. Infrastructure, complete the Northeast Water Treatment Plant. That construction actually started. A lot of the dirt work is going on and kind of a busy site. So if you get a chance to drive by there. And the commercial LCM installs, we've actually had some issues with the company that's supplying those LCMs. Kind of back to the drawing board. Say that, Jaren. So that's still in progress. We're waiting for. They're planning the lighting assessments in buildings. We had started on that, and once again, that employee left. And once the center technology CIS software in place, that's actually in process. Working with Tyler to, you know, get that process and forward to that in the fall of 2020. Same with LCM software in place. That kind of goes along with everything's kind of on hold until we get those out. New building, determined location of building. We'll be talking about that at the planning committee. And looking forward into early 2023, there's a few items there. Bear with me here. We'll kind of touch on under infrastructure, complete demolition of power plant. I'll give you a quick update there. The abatement process is kind of ongoing right now. You see a lot of activity over there. They've already done cleaning up the tunnels, the heating tunnels, starting on boiler one, I believe, in that area. Last week, Jaron and his guys shut power down to the building, so kind of a sad day. Power is disconnected to the building other than the temporary power that the contractors are using. So if you see any lights on at night, those kind of things, that's their stuff, the building. So that abatement, hoping to wrap up January, February, and then they'll move right into right after that. What else?
I ask just a minute because I'm having a block. What's LCM?
Load control modules. Under planning, number eight, implement rate study recommendations. As you're aware, that's for the city last Monday, John. So then they have. Other than that, and for questions, if you're forward looking or anything backwards.
And the thing, the items that you moved out.
Go ahead, Carol.
The items that you moved out to 2024. Was it time, money, many projects going on? Or
some of them have to do with technology. They had a lot to do with the new operating software, getting that up and rolling and going before we had another wrench to it. Staff level to us to put that back. The load control modules, for example, that's a manufacturer. Load control modules, meters, all those kind of really hard to get right now. And attention to that, they sent back to the drawing board. Technology, some.
Question on the BES school program. What does that all entail?
BES, it's Bright Energy Services, fifth grade educational program. They talk about energy, how it's delivered, how it's used, how to conserve. We can push out the summary of that program. Might be good information for the commission to have what's all the details of what's all included in that program. We've been offering that program, I'm going to say 5 years now, maybe. Yeah, 4 or 5 years we've been offering it. The reviews that come back from the teachers, the parents, and the students are stellar. It's a program that they all really appreciate. And the first year was a bit challenging for us to get into school with that program, but since then, the return of the program, if the teachers don't change over, they're basically requesting the programs. They appreciate the program. So we want to continue that. That program is cost-shared with Missouri River. Missouri River actually puts that program together. They have a third party that specializes in the program and in education that the schools work through. They put everything together. They deliver the program, the curriculum, the full nine yards. So basically, from our perspective, our involvement is we submit the contacts from the schools to the third-party program through Missouri River, and they take it from there, and then we pay for half of it.
Any other questions on the plan? Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Move on to item number five. Talk about generation proposals with DGR.
Yeah, thanks, Chair DeBleek. So Missouri River Energy Services reached out to us, and they actually made a capacity request. So they're looking to increase the amount of generation that they have under contract to dispatch to their members when they need power. And they actually had a fairly lucrative offer. And so we took a look at what our ability would be to answer that call. And back in 2019, we had DGR do an air permitting analysis for us. That was when we were looking to replace the generation that is being shut down across the street. And at the time, we decided not to move forward with that. However, with this new information, we would like to revisit that. And so we asked DGR to update their 2019 air quality permitting investigation. And so they have developed this proposal for us to do so. Primarily, what we do want to look for, what we would like answers to, is the length of time and the cost it will take to get new generation, new local generation here for Wilmer Utilities. And then along with that, they include different things about different engine building types and various project information. A good cost, so we could bring it to you, your input, if that's a good direction for Wilmer. So you have the DGR proposal in front of you. The amount is $25,000, and that is an hourly estimate. It's not a lump sum. That I would pause for questions.
In a plan like this, I understand this is the study phase. Would there be any other phases before we were actually able to secure some additional equipment for generation that are going to be costing along the way?
Yeah, so what I would envision after we receive the report from DGR is that we would, if it did seem like it would be a good idea to move forward, we would ask DGR for a proposal to actually construct the project, so to do the engineering, procurement, and construction of the generation project. So that would be the follow-up cost.
And question being, Missouri River is a co-sponsor or co-party in this. We do add generation, or they need to sign off on any the recommendations we get out of DGR.
The connection we would have with Missouri River Energy would be through our RCA reserved capacity agreement. We already have an agreement in place with MRES for our existing diesel generators, so we make them available to dispatch at their discretion. And they pay us a monthly sum for that availability. And so we would add this new generation to that agreement. And they've actually, with this capacity request, have offered a lump sum payment for future generation.
Commissioner DeBleek, I'll expand on a little bit, Jaron, as well. Missouri River is looking to add approximately 50 megawatts of additional generation in WAPA and SPP. They're doing that because of the capacity deficiency that's in those two power marketing footprints. So, as Jaron alluded to, they're upping their payment to closer reflect the capacity market that's out there. That has gone from $1.50, $2 3 years ago when we last looked at it. As Jaron alluded to, it wasn't financially attractive when we last looked to it. The capacity market's now being at $7 and $8 a megawatt, so a significant increase in the capacity markets. So therefore, Missouri River took a look at their contracts, and their contracts reflected the lower rates because that's what the capacity markets were at. But now the capacity markets are up, the need for more generation, more capacity, they have approved increases to the capacity contracts, the RCA, as Jaron alluded to, in addition to the lump sum payments to make it more attractive for communities to install, in hopes and in anticipation that they'll get somewhere around 50 megawatts of generation across their membership to help with their capacity deficit. Back in September, we talked about adding generation with the planning committee. The planning committee directed us to reach out to DGR and get a scope of work. This scope of work is over $10,000, so that's why we're back in front of the commission today here asking for approval for DGR scope of work.
Kennedy.
Jaron, I know you spoke of the engine air quality permit, or I guess it says air quality permitting investigation update. If we go with the diesel generation, do we have to get, say we don't use the latest and greatest, and we get to the used, a lower tier emissions, do we have to continually pay for offsetting the costs of the, or might be specific, you might not know, but do we have to get a permit to run those lower class emission engines? Is that a continual thing you have to pay on, or?
Yeah, that's a good question, Commissioner Kennedy. I don't know the details of the permitting there. I do know that different uses of the engine, whether they're emergency use or the amount of time they run throughout the year, determines what type of permit you need. So based on our needs, we would get a certain type of permit that DGR would be running. Not sure if that answers your question. We don't get penalized for getting older equipment, but we need to meet the requirements of state and federal quality.
I just have a background in that. So I know with the final tier four emissions package, it actually cleans the air, but then those engines are going to be more. I didn't know if it was like for places that sell equipment that have that, they have to pay the federal government a one-time fee if they're below that emissions level. So I don't know how that worked for us continuing to use a engine that didn't meet the newer class or not. So I'm sure other details will come out.
DGR could answer that question for you, but sorry, I can't.
No, that's fine.
I think at this point, actually, at staff level, we are unable to answer that question. That is built into the scope of work that DGR. Our main focus with this scope of work for DGR is our permitting process and what does that look like. What does it look like with new generators if we were to add, as well as our existing generators? Because our current permit that we have more than likely will be impacted by adding more generation. We don't have those answers yet. But
okay.
Hopefully we'll have a better idea once DGR completes the scope of work. January 15th, we have requested them to have their report to us. So.
Follow up. No, this one's at 25,000, and actually I think this is an opportunity we have to move forward with. At first, but the next one that comes on, I would assume that scope will also be costed out hourly and maybe come in similar price tag. I don't know. Maybe talk a little bit about that, and then we get the one-time payment to where this looks like it's
economically something we should pursue, or are we looking at using the additional revenue coming in from the actual production to offset the cost of putting it in, assuming that most of that's going to be taken care of with the one lump sum payment? Oh, all right. Fire away.
Excellent question, Commissioner Muskie. Do you want me to take a turn, or? Okay. Missouri River, in their new RCA agreements, they are going to pay a lump sum payment of $2 per megawatt of installed generation. So a 10 megawatt generator, just for conversation purposes, we don't have numbers yet, but we'll say hypothetically is going to be $10 million. That lump sum payment at $2 a kW, somebody got a calculator real quick, is probably somewhere around $2 times 10, yeah, probably $2 million. So out of $10 million, we'll get a lump sum payment of roughly $2 million. And then our capacity payments right now, we are at $3, I believe, $2.95 maybe. So $3, our capacity payments are $3. They are increasing that capacity payments from $3 to $5, like kW a month. So we'll see what the numbers come in at. Missouri River is looking at extending the capacity contracts, or RCAs, out to coincide with our S1 contracts, which go out to about 30 years, 25 years yet. Yeah, they go out quite a ways. So when you look at that, our return on our investment, we probably, again, depending on numbers, will probably be around 15 years with that lump sum payment, roughly speaking. We got a very, very high level data yet. But am I answering
the question?
Oh,
you're absolutely answering it.
Okay.
And do we have any kind of concept of what the next phase would cost?
The next phase of this project, if I understand your question, Commissioner Muskie, would be the design phase. And as Jaron alluded to, we'd reach out to DGR again and ask for them, based on what we learn in our study work with this scope of work that we have here, will then drive the scope of work for the design. And at this point, I don't even, can't even guess yet. Typically, once you get into design, their work might be twofold. Part of their work will probably be a lump sum based on a percentage of project, and the other will be by hourly. It would be typically what that contract would look like.
Does that answer your question?
Well, it does. It just from my perspective, if we're going forward with this, yeah, I want to see it all the way through and not back off of the thing. So to me, it's, if we're going to do it and plan on that return of investment,
yeah,
that we go forward. Otherwise, this money will just be gone. And that's
right.
Always my concern is to follow through and finish the project.
Commissioner Muskie, very valid concern at staff level. You know, we look at projects with that approach in mind. And based on what we know today from staff level, our intentions is to see more generation here based on what we know today. Or we would not be bringing this study work request forward if we didn't feel that it was going to be beneficial to continue to pursue. So.
And one question on the fee, is that not to exceed 25? Or
yeah, we're looking for,
as I see it, is an hourly estimate.
Yep. So we would be looking for approval for the $25,000, and if it went beyond authorization, like.
Commissioner, have any more additional questions on this project? If not, that takes a resolution. Does somebody want to introduce the resolution?
I'll introduce that resolution.
I'll second it.
Second. No additional questions? Beth, you want to call the resolution?
Certainly. Commissioner Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kadar?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Thank you.
We have item number six to designate the MRES to manage our WMU's WAPA receive program. You, John?
Yep.
Want to take that?
All right. Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. WAPA's rec program, who's WAPA? What's WAPA? WAPA is Western Area Power Administration. They're managed by federal agencies, two of them, Corps of Engineers, Bureau of Reclamation. They oversee our hydro project, our hydropower. And with the RECS program, renewable energy, carbon-free energy, WAPA was not recognizing or filing the RECS to recognize that power as clean or carbon-free power. So as we go forward with environmental issues, everyone feels that WAPA should start recognizing that as an attribute to their power generation, so that if there's ever any question to whether, you know, we receive renewable power or carbon-free power, that those RECs are filed and certified and recorded. So to track that program, WAPA is giving Mike Womer Utilities the opportunity to designate an entity to track that and retire those RECs on our behalf. Missouri River has offered to do that for all its members, and this designation form that you have in front of you today would designate Missouri River to manage those RECs and the RECs program for us. So a recommendation is that we request Missouri River to do that.
Any questions on that program?
So for clarity, in the past, the RECs that we have filed and paid for, we did that in-house? Or was through WAPA, but then WAPA wasn't actually filing them?
Excellent question, Commissioner Erickson. We have two different things going on.
Yep.
In the past, the RECs that we, if you open up the next one, the pie chart that looks like this, we claim through the RECs program 100% carbon zero power supply. And what that is, when you look at our makeup of carbon free power, we're at 93%. That's considering our hydropower is being carbon-free and renewable, even though the RECs aren't there. So we, as a utility, the commission has elected to buy RECs for the community to make up the difference between a 93 and 100%. So the RECs that we're talking about through WAPA is basically just certification that truly that is renewable and carbon-free power. It's not going to change what we as a utility has to purchase in RECs to make up for that incremental difference of 7%.
Labeling what was a prior label.
Correct. Be an excellent way to put it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It says here we have to concur that we agree, acknowledge the WAPA REC program principles. Are they just some statements we easily comply with or concur with?
Yeah. They, Commissioner Muskie, yes, that's exactly what they are. Department of Energy put together a PowerPoint, put out about a six-page statement about their principles. And
okay.
Basically, in summary, it's talking about, yes, this is renewable power, yes, it's carbon-free power. Yes, it should be recognized as such, and they are willing to certify the output from their generation as such. So.
Any other questions by the commission? Not, that's a motion. Does somebody want to enter the motion? Senator Kennedy?
I'll second.
Barb, second. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion would carry. Where is that? Seeing Commissioner Kattar is on, we need to have a roll call back. Yes, because we have one commissioner on video, we need to do a roll call.
Commissioner Muskie?
Aye.
Kattar?
Aye.
Eddie?
Aye.
Siblik?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye.
Thank you. Right, move on to item 7. General Manager's report.
All right, thank you, Commissioner DeBlake. First item on there is public hearing. Last week, Monday, we were in front of the City Council. They gave consideration for a rate increase as requested by the Commission. Meeting went extremely well. There was no one from the public there to comment, but we had lots of questions from, lots of good questions from the Council about our project, our, not necessarily so much about our rates, but how our rates were being utilized, basically. You know, as we talked about in the past, our rates are being consumed, the bulk of our rate increase being consumed by the water main increase to coincide with the city street replacement plan. Out of that 20%, when we look at it, it generates us roughly $800,000, $400,000. We added to our water main replacement to be able to change out the water mains as the city moves forward with street projects. The remainder is for our water treatment plant and O&M as well. And then there was lots of talk about the bonding bill, how long we've been trying to pursue, you know, either bond through the bonding bill or appropriations at the federal level. Also, low interest loans and grants through the more local programs, state programs like PFA program, things of that nature, WIFIA program. And then do we continue to pursue bonding in this session? And the answer to that is yes as well. We've had conversations with Representative Baker, with Lang already. We actually have a meeting set up with them for December 21st to talk about the bills that were in place last legislative session, which the bills were a total of $21 million, both on the House and Senate side, which led over then to discussion. If we do get bonding, if we get $10 million in bonding, you know, what happens to our 20% rate increase? Well, if we are so fortunate to get the 20% bonding, our rate increase, we'd have the opportunity to significantly reduce that rate increase. So, council, from the council perspective, they were going to continue to lobby our legislative delegation. In fact, our current mayor and our mayor-elect is going to attend a December 21st meeting as well to help promote with the new session to include this project in the bonding bill, even though it has started. So a lot of good discussion we had at that meeting. So hopefully we still can be successful. And the mayor kind of closed by noting that once the ordinance is set, that's the max that we can raise their rates, but we can always do something less, which is a correct statement. We've done that in the past here at the utility, had ordinances in place, but implemented something less than what was approved by the ordinance process. Hopefully, we continue to lobby. Hopefully, with some success, we can end up with some bonding dollars. The threshold to break even, we've talked about this in the past. The criteria and the strings that are attached to the typical bonding dollars or low interest loans, PFA loans, WIFIA loans, a lot of criteria go with that. That criteria is somewhere in the vicinity of $3 to $4 million. So, you know, when we talk about we need at least $10 million, we need. We're hoping that if we get anything, we can get, you know, that $10 million. And conversations with our legislative delegation is that there's no strings attached to that, being that they didn't complete last year, get funding last year, and we needed to move forward with projects. So that would not be a precedent that we'd be setting to give a waiver of the strings attached to it. It's been done in the past, not often, but it has been done in the past. So. That's kind of the conversations that we're having with our legislative delegation presently. Next item that we have on there, Flatiron and Hood provided their fee schedule. For 2023's modest increases are there, reflecting the inflation. Our annual holiday staff gathering and commission gathering is Tuesday, December 13th, 12 to 1. Beth has a full-fledged holiday dinner scheduled for us, so commission's welcome. We'd like to see you there.
I'll be in the kitchen.
And Beth will be posting it as a commission meeting, so in the event we have more than a quorum of the commission here, we'll be okay. And with that said, there will be no other business there other than thanking staff or the commission, or our commission chair wants to thank staff. Other than that, that would be the only business at that meeting that day. And then we got our Labor Committee, Planning Committee meeting. You can see by the agenda items there after today's meeting, that list of additional topics that we need meetings for will be fairly minimal. With that, any questions? Otherwise, that would conclude my update.
Okay, any questions of the commission?
It's not directly maybe for you, John, but I know last time Commissioner Lommer talked about a tree at the Festival of Trees. I was kind of curious on what happened with that.
The guys brought it over and we decorated it, and when you walk into that area, it's there, so you can see it from both sides. Looks very nice. Looks very nice. They did a good job. They even bought new trees, so I added a little cost that way, I guess, and had to, you know, put all the branches down and whatnot. But, and then the gal from the front desk, she was there, and she's very talented. And then we had little bags of coal on the tree. And at first I had scattered them around, and I thought, no, I'm going to put them right there so that people will ask questions maybe about it or that type of thing. It's up, and that Festival Trees, please, if you got a few minutes, you know, Wednesday through Friday, Monday and Tuesday they are there, but not as available Wednesday through Friday, you know, and now the play is coming up this weekend, so. You know, go in there and look at it. It's really some of the trees that have come from other agencies and that type of thing. But ours is one of the best.
There's a reason we have you as our ambassador.
Commissioner LaVar, thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'll mention under item 8, there's a couple upcoming events. The MMUA Legislative Conference scheduled in February. January 24th, 25th, the last part of January. And the APPA Legislative Rally scheduled for February 27th, March 1st. And that's held in Washington, D.C. I think we do have some room set aside if anybody is interested in attending either one of those two events. Definitely let staff know. Okay. If there's any other questions from the commission on additional items. Thank you, Commissioner Lommer. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Adjourned.